Application Academy is closing if you are applying to medical school in 2024 to start in 2025. We are closing in mid-April, April 12th or 13th, somewhere around there, somewhere in mid-April. We're closing our door. It's time for you to get in to Application Academy to get the support you need to put together your story so that you aren't one of those students that end up rejected because you didn't know how to tell your story. Come join us at applicationacademy.com. Use the promo code podcast for a little extra discount. Use the promo code podcast for a little extra discount. I'll see you soon at applicationacademy.com. The pre-med path can be super confusing. If you'd love some help on your path or on your applications, use the promo code PMY for pre-med years, PMY, over at medicalschoolhq.net and get some help from some of our experts, former directors of admissions, admissions officers, other experts. We have a small team ready to help you today. Again, that's promo code PMY to get a discount on our services at medicalschoolhq.net. If you're applying to medical school in 2022 to start medical school in 2023, join me Wednesday or Thursday, Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern or Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern at premedworkshop.com. Go register today. I'm going to show you how to tell your story in your application. Again, that's premedworkshop.com. If you are applying to medical school in 2022, be there or be square. The Medical School Headquarters Podcast, session number 142. Hello and welcome to the Medical School Headquarters Podcast, where we believe that collaboration, not competition, is key to your pre-med success. I am your host, Dr. Ryan Gray, and in this podcast, we share with you stories, encouragement, and information that you need to know to help guide you on your path to becoming a physician. If you're struggling with your MCAT prep, go to freemcatgift.com today and download our 30-plus page report all about the MCAT with tips and tricks and even MCAT prep discounts in there. Again, freemcatgift.com. Also, if you haven't checked out Premed Life magazine, their recent issue has a feature on me, which is kind of cool. It's about my path as a flight surgeon, and there's a nice, huge picture. I don't know why it's so big, but go check out premedlife.com and check out Premed Life magazine. They offer bi-monthly issues as well as a ton of great articles on their website all the time. Again, premedlife.com. Today, I want to talk about a topic that is kind of near and dear to my heart because it's something I'm passionate about talking about. And I'm kind of passionate about everything with the pre-med path. If this is the first time that you're listening to this podcast, go back and listen to episode one and I tell you about my journey through the pre-med world and through medicine itself. And you'll kind of hear that I get a little passionate about a lot of the stuff that is out there to help you, the pre-med. But this one topic, I actually recently did a webinar with Next Step Test Prep, and they hosted the webinar, and I talked during the webinar and gave a presentation all about selecting a medical school and what you should use to help you select medical schools. And we always hear the number, or I hear the number, maybe you haven't heard the number yet, but the number 15, the average number of schools applied to is 15. And that's true, but not really true. It's only half the story, or a third of the story, depending on how many application services you use between the DO applications, the MD applications, and then the Texas applications, because Texas has to be different. But if you look at AMCAS's data, the application service, AMCAS, the AMCAS application service for MD schools, for allopathic medical schools, they state that the average number of applications, the average number of schools selected per application is 15. That's just through the AMCAS application. Now, you may be somebody that's applying to AMCAS and a DO or through the ACOMAS, the AACOMAS, through for osteopathic schools. So you may be applying to DO schools and MD schools and Texas schools. So where does that put you? You have, if the average is 15 for AMCAS, how many are you applying for ACOMAS? And it's roughly about the same, the average. Off the top of my head, I don't know why I'm blanking on it, but it's about the same. So that's a question. I would like to see better data on average number of schools total that students are applying to, both DO, MD, and the Texas applications, although there's just a handful of schools that participate in that. So it's a little bit of a minority. But what I want to talk about kind of first and foremost, and as the kind of bulk of this podcast, is how you should go about choosing, or maybe more importantly, how you shouldn't go about choosing a medical school. And it came about because as I was putting together this presentation for Next Step Test Prep, I started putting together slides, and one of my slides has a picture of the U.S. News and World Report's logo. And that's because I hear too often that students are using U.S. News and World Report's as a starting point for selecting medical schools, or as a decision point for selecting medical schools. And I hate to break it to you, but the U.S. News and World Reports is nothing but a list meant to sell magazines or sell reports, sell access to their reports. There's nothing in that report that should determine where you apply to medical school. There's nothing in that report that actually states what's a good medical school and what's a bad medical school. And more importantly, there's nothing in that report that states if that medical school is good for you or bad for you. And that's kind of what we'll get to, hopefully, by the end of this podcast, is that you understand that it doesn't matter what the average GPA is for matriculating students at a medical school. It doesn't matter what the average MCAT score is for matriculating students at a medical school. It doesn't matter. It doesn't. What matters is your ability to be a great student at that medical school, and how that school can help you become a great student. And so we'll get into that a little bit. But I want to, you may be asking, well, the U.S. News and World Reports, is it comes out every year, and it's a highly prestigious report, and everybody talks about it, and hospitals hang banners that say they're a top hospital in U.S. News and World Reports, and that's fine. But if you actually look at how they determine these rankings, you'll understand that they're a bunch of baloney. And we'll talk about that. Now, for the methodology for how the U.S. News and World Reports comes to create a list, they actually have this on their website, and I'm looking at it right now, 2016 Best Medical School Rankings. And it says, find out how U.S. News ranks medical schools, and it was posted or updated March 9th of 2015. Now, what happens is, the U.S. News rankings sends all of the medical schools that are accredited by the Liaison Committee on Medical Education, or LCME, and those are the MD schools, and then there's 26 osteopathic schools that were fully accredited in 2014. These are both in 2014 by the American Osteopathic Association. Of the 156 schools that they reached out to, the ones that were fully accredited, 118 provided data. And this is how it breaks down on where they get these scores from. So one of the highest parts of the score is what's known as a peer assessment score. Basically, here's how U.S. News and World Reports states. In the fall of 2014, medical and osteopathic school deans, and I don't like how they call it. They're all medical schools. It's not... anyway. medical and osteopathic school deans, deans of academic affairs, and heads of internal medicine or the directors of admissions were asked to rate programs on a scale of from 1 being marginal to 5 being outstanding. Survey populations were asked to rate program quality for both research and primary care programs separately on a single survey instrument. Those individuals who did not know enough about a school to evaluate it fairly were asked to mark don't know. So, here's... And this says here, about 30% of those surveyed responded. So not even a lot of people that were surveyed responded, because it's kind of ludicrous to base your rankings on what another person at another medical school thinks of your school. That's where the majority of this ranking comes from, or a lot of this ranking comes from, is... Hey, Dean of Admissions at Harvard, what do you think about Yale? Oh, they're great. So yeah, they're great. And hey, Dean of Admissions at Yale, what do you think about Harvard? Oh, they're wonderful. And then you have students that use this data to determine where they're going to school. And I think it's terrible. Another one here, again, another subjective, and that's the problem with this, is it's subjective data. It's what I think or what one person thinks. It's not data-driven at all. Another big part of it is the assessment score by the residency directors. So you have students graduating from medical school and going off into residency, and they're asking residency directors what they think of a medical school. And they're basing this information off of such a small sample from the medical school. If a residency program has 5 new residents in their program, each one of them from a different medical school, they're judging their view of that medical school based on one student. And it's not fair to the medical school. It's not fair to the student. The student may not be the best graduate of that medical school and might not be the best ambassador for that medical school. And this is what they're putting and using as a ranking to sell you a magazine. So again, subjective information that really doesn't mean much. There's a lot of other stuff in here. We'll put a link in the show notes to this U.S. News and World Reports website, but they talk about research activity, total research activity, average research activity per faculty member. Again, research activity, while they can actually quantify this stuff and it's an actual number and not a subjective information, it doesn't tell you that the school is a quality school to go to. It just tells you how much research is going on or how much money they're bringing in. It doesn't tell you that it's a great medical school. And one thing that you need to keep in mind with this, and something that I love to say, and I hope you kind of write this down and like write it in a Sharpie marker on your mirror, a dry erase marker on your mirror, and you look at it every morning. It's don't go to a school because you think it's great, or don't go to a great medical school, as listed by the U.S. News and World Reports. Go to a medical school that will make you great. That's the differentiating factor between an amazing time in medical school, coming out with amazing grades and great board scores, or being totally burnt out. What school is going to make you great? Where are you going to thrive? All right, a couple more selection factors here, or ranking factors here, are the medium MCAT total score. The median MCAT score has no bearing on whether a medical school is good or not. It just tells us the caliber of students, or not even the caliber of students. It's telling us the ability of the students that they're accepting to take the MCAT and how well they did on the MCAT. So again, just because a school has a high average or a high median MCAT score, that doesn't mean the school is great. And if you go there, you're going to be an outstanding student. Just means they, that year, they selected a lot of students that were had great MCAT scores. And along those same lines, they have median undergraduate GPA. Again, same exact things. A admissions committee is charged with whatever the admissions director or the dean of admissions or the dean of the medical school, whatever they determine they want the makeup of that next year's medical class to be. They may say, we want the brightest of the bunch, which means highest GPA, highest MCAT score. They may say, we want a diverse applicant with a ton of diversity and very abnormal extracurricular activities. Maybe they want somebody that's traveled the world and seen it all, a non-traditional student they may stress one year. It everything is determined by this admissions committee on what they want for their school for that year. And so when you look at the U.S. News and World Reports and they're using median MCAT score, median GPA, it doesn't mean that's a great school. It just means that the students that they selected have high GPAs. That's all. That's it. And also, when you're looking through the MSAR, the MSAR, which is offered by the AAMC, or the College Information Book, or the CIB, which is offered by AACOM, those two books are should be your main driving factors on how you start selecting your medical schools. The CIB is free. You can order a print version, which costs some money, but you get it for free in a PDF version. The MSAR, MSAR, does cost, I think, $25 for access to it for the year. And if you're a freshman in college, you should start purchasing this MSAR and start weeding out some schools and looking at some of their philosophy. They talk about required classes, what they accept, what they don't accept, if they accept community college classes, which is always a big question. In our Facebook group or emailed to me, it's always about a lot of questions are about community college. Those two resources are where you need to go looking for those answers, because that's where the schools update that information. So use those two things. But where I was going with that is when you're looking at these sources of information, or you're looking at the school's website and you're seeing what the average GPA is, what the average MCAT score is, you have to realize that that's a number that was derived from all of the new students in that school, all the matriculants. So if it's a large class of 200, you're taking 200 students and you're boiling down all of their GPAs, all of their MCAT scores into one number. And so if the average on there is 32 and you're sitting there with a 27 GPA or 27 MCAT score or a 490 MCAT score, what you need to understand is that there are probably many students that also had 27s on the MCAT and are in that class. And there are also many students that have 36s or 37s on the MCAT. And that's where the average comes from, is that huge range of students. And so you shouldn't let average GPA, average MCAT score determine what schools you'll apply to, what schools you won't apply to? And I know there's an equation out there from a well-known admissions committee member called the Lizzie M equation. And sure, you can look at that, but again, you have a 0% chance of getting into that school if you don't apply, and you have more than a 0% chance if you do apply. So think of it in those terms. Don't worry about average GPA, average MCAT. Look at other things. Look at other things that will make that experience of medical school great for you. And those things include the weather, location, proximity to family and friends, ability to travel to other places, class size, research that's available at that school that maybe you're passionate about for one reason or another, access to residencies or residency directors for something you may be interested in doing as a career or specialty in the future. Those are the kind of things that you should start looking at. And I hope that you'll kind of take that U.S. News and World Reports that's sitting on your desk right now and just throw it in the trash, because it's not worth anything. It's a magazine meant to sell issues, and it's not really there to, well, it's there to sell issues, and it's there for the medical schools to boast about when they're ranked number one. But beyond that, it's not really there to help you select a medical school, or it shouldn't. So with that said, I want to talk about a big milestone that we hit recently in iTunes, and that's our ratings. We hit 300 ratings in the U.S. iTunes store. And if we count all of the other stores, all of the other countries where you guys are rating and reviewing, I can't see those ones as easily, but we hit 300 ratings in iTunes. 298 of those were five-star ratings, and that just is amazing. I have it set up so every time you leave a review, it gets emailed to myself and to Allison, and we just love reading them. And when I see her, I'm like, oh, did you see that review? It was amazing. It just drives us. So thank you for everybody that takes time to do that. I do have a couple to read. Sam, who's this? Oh, wait, no. Why does it say Sam? Anyway, it says, from PharmD to MD PhD, says Dr. Gray does an excellent job discussing many aspects of the pre-med journey. He also has a knack for getting amazing guests on the show. Awesome. So all you guests, I guess you're amazing. I appreciate it. I do try to find great guests that have great stories to tell and are inspirational for everybody. So thank you, PharmD to MD PhD, for that review. We have David NG 150, who says, invaluable podcast for the medical school journey. JRDD23 says, motivational and very helpful. And BrownBear 93 says, solid information. Interesting. A newcomer to America with a degree in economics and management. Cool. So that's an interesting story. So if you haven't yet taken the time to leave a rating and review, we greatly appreciate everyone that does. If you can do so at medicalschoolhq.net/iTunes, if you're listening on an iTunes device, if you happen to be in Stitcher, you can leave a rating there. I'm not really sure how to do it. Just go to medicalschoolhq.net/Stitcher. You can leave a rating and review there. But iTunes is the place that we like the most, because that's where the majority of people listen to podcasts, whether it's on their computer or through iTunes on their Apple products or anywhere else. So thank you again, medicalschoolhq.net/iTunes. Again, don't forget to check out Pre-Med Life magazine at premedlife.com and download our 30-plus page report over at freemcatgift.com. I hope you got a ton of great... Oh, wait. Hold on. So I recently got back from a podcast conference, Podcast Movement 2015 in Fort Worth, where I was nominated for a category, science and medicine category. I was nominated for best podcast. There were a total of 10 nominees. I was one of them, and I did not win. But to be nominated for a podcast award was phenomenal. It was awesome sitting in the room and hearing my podcast be called as one of the nominees was just amazing. I took a video of it. I posted it in the Hangout. If you're not a part of the Hangout, go to medicalschoolhq.net/group. It's a private Facebook group. It was a phenomenal experience, and I owe it all to you. You that's listening right now, for listening and for keeping me motivated and passionate to continue to give you content week after week. So thank you. One other quick thing. We are conducting a survey of all of our listeners, and you can go to medicalschoolhq.net/survey and fill out our 2015 listener survey. It'll take a couple minutes, but it'll give us some valuable information about who you are and how we can better serve you. So with that said, I hope you got a ton of great information out of this podcast. I hope you throw your newest U.S. News and World Reports copy in the trash. And I hope you join us next time here at the Medical School Headquarters.